الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله ابلغ برادرز وي ميك لوتس اوف شكر تو الله سبحانه وتعالى that الله تعالى has given us ايمان ان كلمه لا اله الا الله محمد رسول الله really this is the greatest favor that Allah gives any person over and above all the things Allah gives people anything that a person has is from Allah Allah gives people intelligence, Allah gives people strength, Allah gives people beauty, Allah gives people different abilities and capabilities, Allah gives people wealth, Allah gives people properties, possessions, titles, status in the world. All this is from Allah. But the greatest thing that Allah Ta'ala gives any person is Iman in Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And just imagine, in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were people in Makkah Mukarramah who saw Rasulullah s.a.w. with their own eyes. They heard what Rasulullah s.a.w. had to say. They heard his words directly from his lips. They saw his beautiful akhlaq, the way he conducted himself, the way he treated those people who were good to him, the way he treated those people who were bad to him. They saw, you'll learn in madrasa, in school, that he had titles like Sadiqul Amin, he was the most trustworthy in society. There were no banks that time. So people used to come leave their money in trust with him. People knew he was the most trustworthy in society. So they all saw this with their own eyes. They heard his words. Many of them, you know, they would have seen how he performed his salah, how he worshipped Allah, all of this. But many, many of them were deprived of iman, even though they went through all of this. Imagine meeting Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam face to face, hearing his words, hearing him tell you about Allah. Watching him perform salah, listening to his Quran, sometimes we hear a good qari reciting, we take enjoyment. They heard him recite Quran, and they were deprived of iman. And the thing is, they loved his recitation of Quran. Because late at night, like you can say tahajjud time, how we'll say tahajjud time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come out of his house in Makkah, and used to go into the haram, and used to perform his tahajjud, and used to read Quran, and make zikr, and make dua to Allah. So that was at the dead hours of the night. The whole world is sleeping. And there was no street lights and electricity. So it was dark in the area. So at that hour of the night, the likes of Abu Jahl, Utbah, Shayba, these were his arch enemies in the day, causing a lot of difficulty to him in the daytime. But they used to sneak out of their houses. Like for example, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, so they used to sneak out of their houses in the dark, dark alleyways of Makkah and try to get as close as they can to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without being seen, without being detected. So they used to go and they used to listen to him making Quran tilawat. Because they used to enjoy it. And then when the light was starting to come, Fajr time was coming. So then they used to sneak back to their houses. But Allah made it that they used to bump into each other. Now it's an odd hour of the night. You're not Muslim. You're not up for tahajjud. You're not waking up for Fajr. So they used to question each other. That what are you doing? Where are you going at this hour of the night? So they would try and make an excuse this way, that way. All of them being the big, big enemies of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the daytime. So they would try and make excuses to each other, but then the truth would come out that actually we left our houses at this hour of the night to listen to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting his book, the Quran. So then they would take qasam from each other that we will not do this, promise we will not do this again. And they used to give each other qasam, we'll never do this again. But who could resist the qirat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the next night they would catch each other again. But yet they were deprived of iman. And then another example, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib. He protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and allowed him to make his effort of deen. He allowed him to go in the community, inviting people towards Allah, protected by his uncle, who was a man of stature in society, was a big person in society. So he told the people, you know, he told Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you carry on with your work, don't worry, I will look after you. I will stop the people from harming you. I will protect you. And the people many, many times came to Abu Talib, the senior people of the community, they would come to him, tell your nephew, he's causing problems in our society. He's misleading the youth and the weak ones and the poor ones. Tell him to stop what he's doing. Once they were all sitting, and they went to meet Abu Talib, and there was like a big meeting taking place in the home of Abu Talib. And they were complaining about Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Abu Talib sent for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he was called. And when he came, there was a place next to Abu Talib to sit. So as he entered the room, he saw that place and he was going to sit. And the kuffar also noticed that he's going to sit here. So they said if he's going to sit there, sitting close to his uncle, he can more influence his uncle. You know, more get a soft spot from his uncle, more better because he's right next to him. So quickly they closed that gap. And they left no place for him to sit. So he sat wherever there was a little bit of place and he sat down. And then Abu Talib told him, oh my nephew, these people are complaining about you, man. Because they're saying you're doing this and you're doing that in society. And you're making it a bit difficult now for me also. And there's that. And they're offering that, what is it that you want? What is it that you want out of all of this? If you want a lot of money, you want wealth, we'll give you wealth. You want to be the king, you want to be the ruler, we'll make you the king and the ruler. If it's woman that you want, we'll give you woman also. So Rasulullah made a statement, which we should really remember the statement. At Rasulullah told him something like this, that even if you put the sun in my right hand and you put the moon in my left hand, I won't stop at anything. Meaning, give me everything that the world can offer. Everything that you can offer, give it. I still won't stop. You know? So his uncle then told him that, oh my nephew, you continue what you are doing, I will protect you. So this frustrated the kuffar. His uncle was such a person, so much love he had for his nephew, and so much trust and confidence he had in his nephew, and so much belief, so to say, the confidence he had in the message of his nephew, that he told many, many other people, listen to him, follow him, do what he's saying you must do. Many people listened to Abu Talib, became Muslim, but Allah deprived Abu Talib of Iman. And like that, there were many, you all know the stories, you all learn it in madrasa, and that the valley of Abu Talib, the Muslims were boycotted for 3 years. What difficulty they went through. Nobody could sell anything to them, nobody could buy anything from them, nobody could even give them one meal. Rasulullah and Bilal Rajalaun used to suffice of the little bit of food that Bilal Rajalaun could fit under his arm. So little bit. Can you imagine a person is carrying a book under his arm? So he's got the book here and his arm is down. So you can see he's got a book because it's sticking out. This was so little bit that it wasn't even visible when the arm was down. So how much was it? One or two morsels? Haven't eaten for days on end, and this is what you have to share with somebody else. One or two morsels. And in that was all the Banu Hashim were being boycotted. All the family of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And yet amongst them, some of them, after having gone through this difficulty, still left this world later without Iman. So what I'm saying, brothers, Allah Ta'ala, people went through so much difficulty for the sake of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they were deprived of Iman. People came so close to him, benefited from his company, from his akhlaq, from his generosity, from his kindness, they were deprived of Iman. Even some of them assisted Deen in some way, they were deprived of Iman. Now you and I, few centuries later, 1400 odd years later, we haven't seen Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We haven't heard his words directly from his lips. We haven't directly witnessed his akhlaq. Yes, sometimes you see somebody, with good akhlaq and it will soften the heart. But we haven't met him. We haven't saw his akhlaq, his way. And what have we actually done for the deen? Sometimes through our actions, through our words, people are turned away from deen. Sometimes through our actions, through our words, some of our friends get onto bad habits that are against deen. So in some ways we have done a disservice to deen. But still Allah keeps us with Iman. Understand what I'm saying? What shukr we should make to Allah Ta'ala. And many of us, we are in school, we are in madrasa, we are learning the kalimas, the du'as, the different sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, different surahs of the Quran. This is a great favor from Allah Ta'ala. Some even in the Hibs class might have completed few paras already, some might be halfways already. These are great namats of Allah Ta'ala. So you should make a lot of shukr for it. And then brothers, Allah Ta'ala sent us in this world for a purpose. So look, forgive me, I don't make many jokes, but hopefully I'll try to keep you all's attention. So Allah Ta'ala sent us in this world for a purpose. And that purpose is to find Allah. That's why Allah sent us here. And when we are younger, it is easy to find Allah. You see, they'll say normally, many of you must have heard this, that it's better to start hives while you're young. So they say you must start at a young age, whatever that young age means, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8, 9, whatever. Once you start coming 10, 11, 12, then they start saying, hey, you're getting a bit old now. If you haven't started, you better start, And those of you that have passed the age of 15, 16, if you are still in your hives class, you know what you were doing 5 years ago in hives, how many pages you were giving. Now it's taking you double the effort, double the time, to try and learn half that work, you know. So what's the reason for this? Because that same student, 15, 16 years old, you put him in the school, he'll swat off the whole history story. The history exam will come, he'll write the story A to Z exactly as it happened. He'll swat off, he's in university, he's 25 years old, 10 years after 15. And he swats off the whole equation and this and that. So what's the reason suddenly Quran became difficult to buy heart? Why Quran became difficult to put in the memory? Anybody has an idea? Quran is nur. Quran is pure. And before we become baligh, the account is clear. Even if we miss namaz, or we lie, or we did this, or we did that, not saying we must do it. But before we become baligh, that doesn't enter our account. We are masoom, we are free of sin. The slate is clear. So the passage for Quran to enter is free, the highway is open, all 4 or 5 lanes are open, high speed highway for Quran to enter. You'll find children learning 2 pages, 3 pages, 4 pages, 5 pages a day even. One student in our town, he finished Quran in 1 year. He became Hafiz in 1 year. And not slapdash, only sabak, sabak, sabak. He's a pakka Hafiz in 1 year. There are these few like that, you know. But now as soon as a child becomes baligh, then this is happening in the mind, that is happening in the body, all things are happening. Now every slight thing he does, it goes into the account. Obviously the good as well. But now the highway is starting to get traffic. There's some obstacles in the way for Quran to enter. There's potholes, there's roadblocks, there's stop and goes, there's accidents. So that 4-lane highway, you could never mind go 120, you could go 240. Now the cars have to go a little bit slower, it's peak traffic. And then if we're filling up more and more things onto that highway, then it becomes slower and slower and harder and harder. So history will enter, chemistry will enter, all those things will enter. But Quran finds it difficult to enter because of this. So while we are young, to find Allah is much easier. And one of the groups of, you know, on the day of Qiyamah, when the sun, we know the sun will be 1 arm's length away from us. You see, some people will be drowning in their own sweat up to their ankles, some to their knees, some to their waist, some to their necks, and some totally immersed, submerged in their own perspiration, in their own sweat, because the sun will be so close. The amount of the person will be, amount of sweat that will, the person will be in, will be dependent on how they live their lives. But there will be few groups who will be under the shade of Allah's arsh, completely afkul, completely relaxed, no stress, no heat hitting them. So to say, air conditioning on the day of Qiyamah. One of those groups are those people who gave their youth to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And that doesn't mean you have to sit in a masjid 24/7, 365. It means that wherever we are, we took the masjid with us. So at the time of salah, we were in the masjid. At the time of ibadat, whatever it was, we were in the masjid. But 24/7, 365, we had the masjid in our heart. We had the obedience of Allah in our heart. And anything that comes out today, any distraction that comes to take us away from Allah, who it targets first? It targets the youth first. See, I can remember when we were young, when we were in university, first, I'm trying to think which one came out first. I think Mixit came out first, before WhatsApp. Now anybody heard of Mixit? They'll remember, used to use Mixit. Can't be, never used to use it. Your brother used to use it, right? So we used to use it. It was like a WhatsApp, but it was dumb. It used to switch off. It never used to stay on the whole time. Your messages used to get lost. But it used to do the job, you know. It was cheaper than SMS, you know. So, but it never go to the adults first. Now you look at Facebook, all businesses are using it, all sorts of things happen on it. It's almost like an operating system on its own. Different apps are there, games, whatever. When it first came out, I remember I was one of the first people to sign up for it. I was maybe like in the first few hundreds in the world, you know. So I looked, I was an IT student, so I looked at it and I said, this thing is dumb, man. What are you going to do with this thing, you know? So I closed it, I never looked at it for a few years, you know. Then it became such a big thing, but only young people were on it, you know. Then after that, we forgot about all those things, you know. But now if you look at the other things that came out, all these other apps that come out, Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat, it didn't come out for adults. First children came on it, isn't it? First the youth came and they're doing all silly things on it. Then later on some business purpose is found, some benefit is found, so to say. But still the products that are being marketed there, majority of the consumers are youth, are young people. So why is it so? Because they have understood. Even the businessman has understood. Even the army of shaitan has understood that if the youth take it on, the world takes it on. Because youth won't remain youth forever. This youth program takes place every year. Maybe you'll set for it this year, next year, the following year. Then after 3, 4, 5 years, you'll be sending your son to come. Or 10 years later, you'll be sending your son to come. But 3, 4, 5 years from now, you'll say, no, I'm no more a youngster. So you won't remain youth forever. But the habits you pick up now will remain with you forever. That's why you see sometimes a man is 45 years old. From here already the hair is going off. It's already going back. But he brings it forward, you know, to hide that he's going bald. You've seen that, no? Maaf if anybody. Sometimes the guys are going bald at 18 and 17 already, you know. Now you see the guy in his young look. Nowadays, I don't know what's in fashion, you know. But in fashion is like that. It goes, it's just a marketing thing. Before they used to have, in my parents' times, they used to have a pants, a jeans, you know. They should call it a bell bottom. They should call it a bell bottom. Meaning that at the bottom it should open up like a bell and cover the shoe, you know. Then after that, they became slim trousers. The next generation, you know, that was in fashion. So to wear a bell bottom was embarrassing. So if you took your father's jeans, it was in good condition, you couldn't wear it. People would say, what the hell are you wearing? But 10, 15 years later, what became the fashion? Baggy jeans. Bootleg. They used to call it bootleg. But it was still, I remember when we were young, my father's name used to maybe have bell bottoms. We had bootleg now. Same thing, just a different name. Then as we grew up a little bit more, then they started calling it skinny jeans. But it was the same slim fit of last time. But every time the stock gets sold, they have to bring something new so you'll buy again. Then it goes and they bring it again. When the first cell phones came out, they were these massive things. You know, bigger than your hand. I can remember the first, when we were children, the first, okay, they were not smartphones, but they were big things, man. Then after a few years, the big thing to do was to get smaller and smaller phones. Then you got such a small phone like this. It was so small like this, you know. It could do everything. Then the next thing, hey, my phone got a big screen. Then it became bigger and bigger. And people are excited to show how big their phone was. Now they got one that opens up into two screens. And before you know it, they'll start showing how small the phone became. So they make us like Charlies, you know. They make us like idiots, you know. That's why they say yesterday's enjoyments are today's embarrassments. Yesterday the phone that was a cool thing to have, I don't know, what's the latest iPhone? 17, 16, 15, what is it? You don't know, you don't act, you know. 16 is coming out, ne? So if you're walking around now, your bras are all coming with the iPhone 16. Hey, my father pre-ordered it. It's coming next week. So now next week, all the guys are showing, hey, I got a 16, I got this, I got a Pro, I got a Pro Max. And you come, hey, boss, my father gave me his iPhone 13. Huh? What do you say? They say, boss, you come with a second-hand phone, yeah? Plus it's 4 or 5 years old, whatever it is. Just fly away from here, you know? Huh? So yesterday's enjoyments are today's embarrassments. Yesterday's pride is today's embarrassments. And it doesn't change. Yes, I'm talking maybe at this age, you'll compare with these things. But let me tell you, people, adult ages, now you may be 15, 20, whatever your age might be. 10, 15 years above you, people 20, people 30, 35 years old, they're buying their first smart car. They got a beginning, maybe their father gave them a cheap car. Now he bought his first proper car, you know. Expensive, he's showing his bras. Hey, check my car, boss. I got a GTI. I got this, I got that. Check the RAM I put. Check the sound I put. Check I souped up this. I did that, I did that. So he's feeling lekker. And the other guy comes. His father also had a GTI. He also did his car. But it's about 5, 6 years old. He says, man, just go away from him. Yours is a GTI 4. Mine's a GTI 7. So what does a number matter? And then later, they get bigger. Now the businesses grew. This guy says, boss, check, I got a wholesaler here. He says, man, chuck. They're now 50 years old, 55 years old. He say, you buy from here, man. I got a manufacturing plant in China. He say, I'm importing. He say, bugger you, man. I'm exporting to 5 countries. You know? He say, boss, I'm buying holiday. I'm taking a throw and a lighties. We're buying Maldives. He say, bugger you, man. I'm buying here. And I got a private suite in Disneyland. And there, so the competition never ends, boss. It never, ever ends. So there's always embarrassments, ne? A man comes with something, he put his pride in, and then he say, ah, it's no more so, it's nothing to boast about anymore. I don't know where's the Beverly Hills of the area, like in Pretoria, we got these two streets, smart houses, all the top-notch guys live there, you know. I can't tell you the style of the houses there, you know. So when we were small, I used to tell my big brother, take me for a drive through Beverly Hills, you know, so he used to show me the lekker houses. So I don't know, you all got areas, you must be having areas like that, like I don't want to take names, and maybe there's people from those areas, you know. But I know like one day, a couple years ago in Jamaat, we stayed in this masjid also. We had some youngsters, you know. So we had one guy, he joined us just for a few days. We were out for 40 days, so we went to Musgrave. That time the big masjid wasn't up. So you know, Musgrave is like the Beverly Hills. Ne? We went at Musalla upstairs. So there's one guy the whole time, he's telling us when he heard we were going to Musgrave, he said, I've got one uncle in Musgrave. Ne? So he said, okay, like, when we go there, we'll meet him, or you can meet him. He said, but I don't know his name. I don't know his, what is he? I don't know where he stays. So he said, we'll ask the people there. Maybe they'll know. But he was like a bit of an odd like, you know. Anyways, keep pestering us. So he comes there in a masjid. Now he's grabbing every uncle, boss. He said, uncle, you know what, you know my uncle. He's so and so. I don't know. He gave his name. He said, he drives a white Ferrari, man. You must be knowing him. Finally, the one uncle told him, by many people drive white Ferraris. He's not the only guy, you know. So what I'm saying is, now the person you get this Beverly Hills house, right? The guy put a fancy design, heated toilet seats, automatic curtains. I know one house we got there in Pretoria, the guy just put it up. He's my age, you know, living on his father's money. He put up a fancy house. Fancy house he put up. He walks into the house, automatically sitting on his couch, the curtains open at the daytime, they close in the evening. Automatic. You just hear things, you hear these motors moving. The curtains are closing, the lights are coming on. This is automatic, that is automatic. But I ask you, for how long will that be the latest technology? In 5 years' time, another person will put on the, will build a house that when he walks in, the couches recline the way he wants it to recline. And the curtains close according to how he likes it. And the volume of the things go according to how he likes it. And the drinks are at the temperature he likes it. So your automatic fridge that orders the milk when it's finished, that's no more great. Because my fridge makes the tea at the temperature I like it. And when my wife comes, it knows that she wants 2 teaspoons sugar. And when I come, it wants 3 teaspoons. And it recognizes the difference between my father and my father-in-law. My father wants Coke. My father-in-law wants Fanta. So now your fancy house means nothing, boss. So you put your life into this thing, and then what happened? So what is the one fashion, if we can call it fashion, that we'll never get embarrassed about? Whether you got it this year, next year, whether you hold on to it for 20 years, 40 years, it will never bring embarrassment. Which is that? Which is that fashion? Forgive me for using the word fashion. Sunnah. The way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will never, ever, ever embarrass you. It will never, ever embarrass you. It will always bring you honor. Yes, from time to time, it will cause a bit of the feeling in the heart. A bit of a sadness. A bit of a heartbreak it will cause, but we'll explain it. That is a heartbreak of love. It is a sadness on which we will understand who was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine Rasulullah SAW, we just mentioned 3 years being boycotted in the valley of Abu Talib. For what? If he was not to be created, nothing else would have been created. Adam alayhi salam would have been created. Musa alayhi salam wouldn't have been created. Baytullah wouldn't have been created. Makkah, Marina wouldn't have been created. If he was not to be created. The greatest after Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is guaranteed Jannah before he comes into this world. So what must he go through? Hunger, starvation. Imagine his daughter moving from Makkah to Marina in a condition that she is expecting a baby. And the kuffar of Makkah apprehend her in the middle of this journey. They ill-treat her. They stab her. Immediately she loses the baby. The grandchild of Rasulullah is lost. And because of that same injury, that same wound, she also passes away after some time. For what reason, brothers? You are young people, but you are not small and stupid. You are intelligent people. Think, for what reason? For what reason did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam go through this? So that deen could reach me and you. What fikr, what worry he had in his heart that he was there in what we call today Saudi Arabia, Makkah, Medina. After Nabuwat, he didn't leave that region. Yes, before Nabuwat, he left. He went to Syria, etc. on business. But after Nabuwat, he didn't leave there. But he had such a pain in his heart, such a worry in his heart, that for every single one of us, the Muhammad sitting here, the Musas, the Zakarias that are sitting here, one person, he had the desire that each and every one of us must be saved from Jahannam, entered into Jannah. Such worry he had in his heart, such determination he had in his heart, that today at the southern tip of Africa, we know what is a miswak. Today at the southern tip of Africa, we've learned how to eat, sleep, how to get married. We've even learned how to get divorced correctly. Deen is such, Islam is such a beautiful thing. This, the things that the world will show us, yesterday they told us Pluto is a planet, then they told us it's not a planet. Then they told us, you know, our whole life we grew up eating chilies. A few years ago, I don't know if you people are born or not, it was recently, it came out that chilies is not good for you. And now you must use, what they say, cayenne pepper or something like that. Then they'll tell you this is good, then they'll tell you that is not good. Then it changes. So things keep changing. Always we took Panado for a headache. Now they tell us, you take Panado too much, it affects your liver. So it will harm you later in life. So everything, they put a solution, then he's got a problem with it. So everything in life, a person wants to do something, he's got a side effect. So for example, a person wants to go He wants to go study, he wants to get a degree, you know. So what he does is go to university. School was 5 minutes away from home. University is 20 minutes away from home. School used to start 7:30. To make it for 7:30 class, to make it for 7:30 registration, he used to leave his house maybe 7:15, you know. Now in the morning, to make it for his 7:30 lecture in university, he has to leave 6:30. And now he wants to dress up for university. So he wakes up 5:30, he showers, he changes, he checks his hair in the mirror, everything. Then he goes. So there's a side effect. He has to wake up early, he has to go through extra difficulty. Person is feeling cold at home. What he has to do, he puts on the heater. So his problem is solved, isn't it? He gets the heat. But what's the side effect? His electricity bill goes up, isn't it? A person got a headache. He takes a Panado, it solves the headache. But his liver and his kidneys and headache are hiding. Later in life, he'll see it. So what is sunnah? Sunnah is such a thing that if we got a matter at hand and we need to solve it, we got a problem, we need to solve it. We'll solve the problem, and the side effect is, so to say, the side effect is also positive. A person, he needs to clean his teeth. I'm just using simple examples. A person needs to clean his teeth, he uses miswak. So his teeth will get cleaned, his breath will get freshened, if he knows how to use the miswak. You must freshen your miswak. Now, don't use that same miswak for 6 months. Cut it every now and then, get fresh bristles, let the juice come out. So he'll do that, what will happen? Many other things, the phlegm from his throat will come out, his gums will get benefited, his eyes will be benefited, his eyesight. But the greatest benefit is what? That at time of death, he'll be easy for him to recite kalima. So brothers, the sunnah is there, you know, we've mentioned the sunnah. So we should all make a niyat to bring more and more sunnah in our lives, you know. And you are at a time, like I'm saying, you are at a point in your life, you know, we always use this example, like a train. You know, a train is traveling on a track. And the track comes, it's going straight, and then the track splits. Now the one track is going, you know, let's say to, it's here from Durban we left now, one train is going to East London, Eastern Cape somewhere. And the other one is going now to the northern province there on top of South Africa, there by Polokwane and Venda, and there by the border of Zimbabwe. So we left Durban on one track. Now depending where this train is going, is it going Eastern Cape or is it going there to Venda? It will split here. Now the train will take either one, you know. So there when the track splits, if you just measure there the distance between the left and right, it might be 1 meter, 2 meters, you know, between the left track and the right track. But if you follow down that original middle line for 100 kilometers, and then you measure between left and right, because they went like this. So now if you measure, what do you think the number will be? Probably thousands of kilometers, am I right? Makes sense. So now we're here where we are, we're on this middle track here, right? We started our journey of life, we're 10, 15, 20 years old, we haven't really gotten into major commitments of life, like marriage, we haven't started our own business, we're not running this, that, we're not living in our own house, we're not bringing up children. We're still on that first stretch, we just left Durban, you know. So now when that split comes, that should I take my life on deen or should I take it chilled out? I'll take it as it comes. I'll read my namazes, I'll do this, I'll do what the bras are doing. But I know my deen, don't worry. So when you measure the difference, it's 1 or 2 meters apart, man. What's a big deal? So what? This guy went in 3 days, Jamaat, I didn't go. This guy's planning to go for 4 months after matric. I'm not planning, but it's all right. We read namaz, we're in the same Ifs class together. But 10 years after school, it flies very quickly. And I promise you, in that 10 years after school, some of your friends will get married also. Some of them will become fathers also. Maybe some of them will also end up in a Kabristan already. And after those 10 years, when you look back, and you say, hey man, this guy's a father, that guy's already gone in the cupboard, that guy's there, this guy, look what happened to his life, man, shame, poor guy, what happened to him, he got involved in bad habits, this one, that happened. So now it's when you're 100 kilometers down the line. And now you measure and you see those guys who chose the path of deen. Whether they were hafiz or not, they said, I'm going to become Allah's. So, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to always give that example, you know. He say, a person come, he say, Maulana, make dua, man. I'm struggling to remain ba wuzu. You almost have heard this example live from him, yeah. We were deprived of such things. Allah didn't give us tawfiq for that. But we used to hear his recordings, you know. So he say, one person came, Maulana, I'm struggling to remain ba wuzu, meaning to remain in wuzu the whole time. So he told him to this effect, bhai, this is not a thing to worry about. To remain ba wuzu all the time is not a farad thing. If you get it, alhamdulillah, it's a great nafil thing to have, that you are in wuzu all the time. But to remain ba khuda all the time, that I'm all the time with Allah, Allah is all the time with me. So those students who made that decision in life, that whether I'll go university or I'll go business or I'll go to study in China, or I'll go do business in that country, or I'll get married here, and I'll go set up my house somewhere else in another town, or third. Whatever they decided, some will become Hafez Alim, some will become professionals, some will become businessmen, some will become artisans, they'll become whatever. But those who chose to take Allah and Rasulullah with them wherever they went, you'll see their life very quickly. Within 10 years, you'll see what a difference, where their life is, what Allah took from them, what Allah Ta'ala gave them tawfiq to do. And you say, but what happened to me? I was on the right track. I was on the right track. Allah forgive us, but you people know how many Hafiz of Quran, they came out of the Hifz class. 10, 15 years later, you see them, there's no beard. Ramzan time, they're struggling to make imamat. They don't know their door. How many, and we don't want to talk of all the fitness, but how many youngsters, you know, you people know better than us, the habits that are coming alive amongst the youth. People are taking this and consuming this and getting in that habit, and the girls and the boys and the this and the that. You see my brother and them, my brother is a teacher, he teaches in the school. My sister is also is Alima, so she's teaching in a madrasa. Then my brother-in-law. So you hear the stories of the youngsters in the schools. And what we were doing as boys in the school, we were naughty, Allah forgive us, the girls are doing it today. So we know the reality of what's going on. So how are we going to save ourselves? That youngster is, that person is drowning there in the ocean here. He came from Joburg, he thought this is his Nanima swimming pool, but his meanwhile is an ocean, you know. So he jumped inside with his shorts, and next thing he's on his way to India, you know, and he's screaming for help, you know. So now the lifeguards go running in behind him, you know. What must we do? Must we leave him? No, he'll make it to India. Maybe he'll meet his great-grandfather. We have to go save him, isn't it? We have to take him out. So the lifeguards go in on those jet skis. One day they came to pull me out also. So we Joburg boys, we were stupid sometimes, you know. So they came to pull us out. So they pull you out, and then what they do? Then they start pumping your chest. You know, they make that CPR. They pump that water out of you. So first they took you out of the water, and then they took the water out of you. And then they said, bye, listen, yeah, this is not your Nanima swimming pool. This is not Joburg. This is Durban, boss. There's waves here. These things are dangerous. Undercurrents will pull you in. So let us teach you what to do. So they show you first how to handle it, judge it, check it out. They teach you. Maybe they put you in a baby pool first. They say, just check here. You know what you need to do. Then they say, okay, go back in the water. You know? So what was the lesson? The person is drowning. Take him out of the water. Take the water out of him. Teach him how to swim. Put him back in the water. So each and every one of us, this world is like the ocean for us. And all of us are drowning. Myself also, I'm drowning. You people also are drowning. What are we drowning in? We're drowning in our society. So I can start preparing the refreshments, inshallah. We'll be done in 5 minutes, inshallah. We're drowning in the waves of our society. Our friends are doing this, they're doing that. Our community is doing that. The circles we move in are doing certain things. And if we don't do it, we look at it as there's something wrong with us. If we do something different, something opposite, something is wrong with us. Why are we doing like that? If you come here, you know, like, I'll just give you an example, you know. Now, in my house, look, make dua, my children, I'm a little bit hard on them, you know. Make dua, Allah makes it easy for them. But now, they don't have PlayStation, they don't have TV, there's no Wi-Fi in the house, all that, you know. So, there's once I stay in the yard there, in the flat, the kids just play together, soccer and whatever, all small boys. So, my one neighbor, he's very into cars, all the time repairing this car, they need to buy it, repair it, sell it, you know. So one day, one of his friends, these are two adults, they're my age, maybe a little bit older than me, they're busy working on this car. So my neighbor is telling my son, he says, hey man, Mohammed, just talk to your friend. He's talking about his own son. He says, just talk to him. All time, he's going to sit on a PlayStation. He don't want to play outside. Talk to him, you play outside. So now my neighbor knows my son, you know, they play all the time, whatever, with the kids. So the neighbor's friend or cousin or whatever it was, also an adult, he told him, you don't play PlayStation. How come you don't play PlayStation? He said, no. He said, you don't have a PlayStation. He said, no, I don't have a PlayStation. He said, oh, he's shocked now, you know. He said, so you got a tablet? He said, no, I don't have a tablet. He said, is it? Eh? He said, so you got a phone? Now my lady is 10 years old, boss. He's 9 years old last year. What must he have a phone for? Anyway, so he said, no, I don't have a phone. So this man is shocked out of his words, you know. He said, so what do you do? He said, no, I play with my cars, I play outside with a ball, like whatever, you know. He said, all right. So what do your father buys you for your birthday? He said, no, he don't buy anything. He said, how come? He said, no, my father don't believe in birthdays, you know. So now this guy is crapping cop also, and my son also is not sure what to say to this man, you know. So anyway, later my son came in the house, and next day I said, what did uncle, you don't know I heard this whole thing. I was sitting in my room, the window is there, I heard the whole thing. So I asked him, I said, boss, what did uncle was asking me yesterday? You know, he said, no, he's just asking me, does it, that. So I told him, what he said about the birthday, so he said this. So I told him, I say, hey man, you know why we don't celebrate birthdays? He said, why? He said, no, you don't like it. I said, no, not I don't like it. You said you are here in madrasa, you are here in the talim, everything. You ever heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling anybody happy birthday? You ever heard he bought a present for somebody on their birthday? He said, no. I said, you heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave people gifts? He said, yeah. He said, ever on his birthday? He said, no. So I said, you get gifts? He said, I get gifts. You guys buy me, you know? So I said, so then you understand now it's because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. So he said, yeah. So, once also he was wearing kurta, so his cousins were teasing. You know, as a small boy, they're playing, so he came. I know when they're playing, they take it off, you know? Because Maulana and them also advised that from young they must wear it, you know? So I told him, I said, don't worry, but take it off, go play. When we're done, you can put it on, don't worry. When we're leaving, you put it on. So I asked him, I said, because I heard the youngster was teasing him. Now they're small, so it happens. So I told him, what that boy was saying that day? He said, he told me when you became a Maulana. So that's why he wanted to take off the kurta, you know? So I asked him, I said, you know what's a Maulana? He said, no, I don't know. That time he was like 6, 7, maybe 5 years old. So I said, a Maulana is a person, he knows the whole Quran. From start to finish. You start reading any ayat, he'll finish it for you till the end of the Quran. Inshallah. You know? Then I told him, he knows all the hadith on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He knows everything that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. His eyes went big like this. He said, everything. I say, everything, boss. So I told him, is it good to be a Maulana or not good? He said, it's a good thing, man. So I say, so next time somebody calls you a Maulana, what must you say? He said, I don't know, what must I say? So you must tell him, yeah, I am a Maulana. You know? So what am I saying? This was a small child. But it happens to all of us. We come in a situation, Bilal Rilan was dragged on the sands of Makkah, beaten, bowled on his chest. And he was being forced to give up Iman. In that condition, still he never gave up. And us, how quickly we give it up? We're having a briar with the Owens. While the fire is there, everything is done, the meat is done, we're busy chowing. We clutch out, we're just chilling now, we're talking. Azan goes. I stand up, I start crying, I say, I'm buying masjid. They say, hey, when you became a Maulana, what happens? My whole insides break. I sit down, I say, we'll read here, what's the story? Masjid is down the road, we'll read here, what's the story? They say, alright, fine, we'll read here. 1 hour, 2 hours pass, it's now past midnight, you still puzzling, hey, what's going to happen to my Isha Namaz? Sometimes it happens, few will read, majority won't read. Many times the night passes, Fajr Azan goes, Isha went. Sometimes Fajr also goes. So this is what I mean, we are all drowning in our society. These waves are coming. So what we have to do? First we have to take the man. What we did, we took him out of the water. We told his Joburg boy, look boss, this is the ocean, not Nanima swimming pool. So we took him out of the water. Then we pumped the water out of him, we taught him how to swim and we put him back. So each and every one of us, we have to get taken out of our social circles, our environment, for a short while. And what is inside has to be pumped out. The love of Allah has to be put in. We have to learn how to swim in the ocean of our social circle, our friends, meaning we have to learn how to obey Allah in all of this. And we learn this coming out and learning is going in the path of Allah. So brothers will make tashkil. Now give your names. Give your names, inshallah.
Mashallah. Let's stand up, inshallah. First tashkil is for all the big boys that is finishing up the heat, all of that, inshallah. Now you're going to be ready for your format, inshallah. So those people stand up and give their names, inshallah. This intention, inshallah. This is your intention, those metric boys, the big boys, inshallah. Quick tashkil, not fast tashkil. The chow is waiting, as our brother is saying. So quick tashkil, inshallah. For the big boys, inshallah, just the big boys in metric and finishing up the hips, inshallah, give your name. Stand up, inshallah. Stand up. Take these names, inshallah. Quickly. Inshallah. Okay, go. Carry on this side, inshallah. Give your name and go this side. Go sit there by Ibrahim Kotwal, inshallah. MashaAllah, mashaAllah. This intention, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take us out. Don't get afraid, inshallah. Inshallah, mashaAllah. Then for those who are youngsters, inshallah, now in December, inshallah, will be our school holidays. We want to make a full 40 days Jamaat for youngsters to go out, inshallah. Those are like 15, 16, 17 years old, big boys. They can go out for 40 days, inshallah. Give your intention quickly, inshallah. Give your intention. Those are 40 days, inshallah, in the December holidays, inshallah. Stand up, give your intention, inshallah. Go in that side, inshallah. Afis Abhim, sit there, inshallah. Go in this side, inshallah. Those boys, quickly, inshallah, then we can go down to eat, inshallah. Those boys, inshallah, quickly, who can give intention during the holidays, inshallah, now in December, will be for the 40 days, mashallah. Mashallah. Anybody else, stand up. This intention, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take us towards, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will take us towards. Then also in December, inshallah, we get a discount Jamaat for 10 days. Just for 10 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just 10 days in part of Allah Ta'ala in the December holidays. This will be a big Jamaat, inshallah. This will be a big Jamaat for 10 days. Just 10 days, quickly, inshallah. Just 10 days. Stand up, more brothers, stand up, inshallah. Come here in the front. Come stand here in the front, inshallah. Come here in the front, inshallah. Just for 10 days. Just for 10 days, inshallah. 10 days, inshallah. Hafiz Ab, go there. Those for 10 days, come here in the front, inshallah. Come here in the front. Okay, mashallah. The rest of us, inshallah, our intention is to spend some time, especially those boys now. We're talking those boys that are the bigger boys, 15, 16, 17 years old like this here. Not the very, very small boys. At least 3 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our holidays. At least 3 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in holidays. Just put our hands up, inshallah. Put our hands up, inshallah. Those for 3 days, inshallah. Our holidays, we know you're writing exams, so after exam, inshallah, we'll be ready for this 3 days. Who's ready for this 3 days, inshallah? Just 3 days and out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A student jamaat, inshallah. A student jamaat of 3 days, mashallah. 1, 2. Who else, inshallah? Others, 3, inshallah. 4, then, inshallah. Some of 5, inshallah, inshallah. Mashallah. So these youngsters, inshallah, the jamaats will be going out, inshallah. So you try and join the jamaat straight in, during the holidays in December time, inshallah. Allah ta'ala make it easy. So don't forget our November. Gee, don't forget all of us, inshallah, on 30th November. 30th November, inshallah, in Masjid Hilal will be our annual students program. Our annual students program, inshallah, on the 30th of November, inshallah, will be in Masjid Hilal, inshallah. From now, we make fikr, inshallah, for everybody. Last year, mashallah, we had over 2,000 students that came for the program. This year, inshallah, we're hoping for more students to come, inshallah. So we all make that intention, inshallah. One very special request is for the youngsters in our masjid, inshallah, for the talim that takes place in our masjid on a regular basis, inshallah, for the youngsters also to participate in the talim, and we can also organize our own halqa for them to do their talim as well. So after Isha, now it's after Isha and after Maghrib at a few days. So after Isha, inshallah, the talim that takes place, for us to take part in the talim, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala, make it easy for us, inshallah, dua, inshallah.
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azhim. Jazallahu 'anna nabiyyana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ahlihi. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayana sighara. Allahumma ighfir muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Rabbi ij'alni muqima s-salati min dhurriyyati rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wat taqwa wal 'afafa wal ghina. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridhaka wal jannata wal firdaws al-a'la wa na'udhu bika min sakhatika wa ghadabika wan nar. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith aslih lana لنا كله ولا تكلنا لأنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم إنا نسألك تمام العافية ودوام العافية وشكر العافية وصلى الله على النبي محمد.